Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronnie Tarmac, Ronald J. Martin, who is once again on the road. Big R, you are in, I want to guess, based on some denominational work that you shared with us, this is the less cool of the two denoms. I want to guess that you're in a very non-hipster part of Minneapolis, judging by the quality of your internet connection, which is really good, and just the level of glumness and defeatedness in your voice. Can you talk about, people love your travel logs. This is kind of a travel program at times. Can you tell us maybe a little bit about where you are?
Yeah, I mean, so...
Even the way you said yeah right there was just defeated.
Exactly.
Yeah, just resigned.
Inspiring about a business park across the street from a Walmart and a quality motel. So take those three things, business park.
Wait, motel. What cross streets are you at? I mean, big ballpark. You don't need to tell people exactly where you are, but I feel like I've shopped at this Walmart before.
Well, you probably have, Pike. I mean, I have no idea what the cross streets are. I just know that in my future, a mile away is a beautiful Mall of America. That's going to happen.
Okay.
Yes.
Lift me out of my glumness. It's going to lift.
I used to go to school right near where you are currently staying, and I commiserate with all of the feelings that you have about that particular part of, technically it's not Minneapolis. That's more like Richfield and Bloomington, but
yeah, for sure. This is the most nondescript place in America right now where I'm at.
Well, Ted's maybe sitting in Jackson, Tennessee, and I think he might want to arm wrestle you for that title, but you know.
Ah, no, I love Jackson, man. I ride with Jackson. I'm a Jacksonian through and through. Ronald, what are you going to be in the market for at the Mall of America? Like, what's going to lift your spirits? Are we looking at a jacket purchase?
Oh, absolutely.
Are we going that big today?
Cinnabon.
Yeah, so there's a first of all, the Mall of America is, and Pipe would know more about it than me, but like literally, like people go in there to like do their jogs for the day, and they're like their walks.
Oh yeah,
and you know, because it's like it has like this, you know. It takes like, it's like 2 miles to like take one lap around the mall.
Baby, would you go in there to ride your motorized bike for fitness?
If I was allowed, absolutely. But what I'm really looking forward to is just, they have a Levi's store there that is bomb. And so I enjoy going there. And just, I don't know, I like the atmosphere. I'm an 80s guy. I'm a mall guy. I just enjoy the atmosphere. And Mall of America is like the quintessential like mall experience of all mall experiences. I mean, it's up there with like everything that is beautiful when it comes to the classic, you know, indoor mall experience.
Well, dude, this is funny because this kind of confuses your hipster Venn diagram a bit. And I think it's going to confuse like some of the more ride or die, like Ron Martin fans, because I feel like hipsters. Yeah. I feel like hipster wise, like being too good for the mall is sort of that's a core value for hipsters. So I think some of your fans are going to struggle with this and have questions for you.
I think that may have been true at one point, but the mall has been so cast aside that to love the mall now is it's like coming full hipster circle.
In terms of like Stranger Things theology, 4, Stranger Things 4 with like, hey, we like love sort of the retro-y mall-y kind of thing. Like that's all like super.
Yeah. Oh, so it's back.
Yeah, I mean, nothing says hipster like scarfing a Cinnabon and sucking down an Orange Julius. So, I think the mall has shifted firmly into that side of it.
Baby, I want you to
do both those things tonight. I'm not going to, but I would love to.
I want you to order a Cinnabon and not eat it. Okay, I want you to order it so that you could be too good for it.
Why don't I order a Cinnabon and an Orange J? Take a picture of it. We'll post it on the HR. You know,
absolutely.
I would love that. It would be perfect.
It's an internet event for the ages.
Oh, it'll be great.
Ronald, I have one more question about your meeting, and then I want to talk about what you're not going to be shopping for at the mall. But before that, about this meeting, so like, do these guys in this denom, and I'm not going to name names of it, but do they know sort of how deflating the accommodations and the food and all those things are for you? Like, do you wear that on your sleeve, or do you keep it coy?
No, I mean, I keep it coy, but it doesn't really matter because we're all together on that. So the one thing we share in common is that, like, you know, this isn't like going to like a magical, like, you know, vacation in Destin, Florida, and then
this isn't your trip to Naples,
right?
Yeah,
this is not that. Yeah, this is.
Is there any aspect of it that's pampering?
I mean, yeah, Mall of America. I pamper myself. There's self-pampering that goes on with these trips. But again, I don't mind it because it's like it's beautiful. The weather's great. It's fall. Mall of America is a mile away. I can almost see it in view. And that's what's giving me my hope.
I did see a picture from it looked like when you were traveling to Minnesota where you posted a very nicely lighted and filtered picture of your All-American breakfast to Instagram and then made its way to Facebook and whatnot. That seemed slightly pampery to me. I mean, it was a very nice way to treat yourself on a travel morning. So I'm glad you're not completely letting this trip slide into oblivion.
Absolutely. I always start out – so my trips out of Cleveland Airport, boys, I always start at the classic Irish pub that dishes up the beautiful tradition American breakfast. So it started out well. I'm with you boys now. It's going well. Mall of America is in my near future. I just got to get through today. Everything's looking brighter.
Just got to wade through the polo shirts and ill-fit khakis.
100%.
As one does in 2019 in pastoral ministry, boys, photographing the breakfast, looking to the mall for hope, look to the cross and look to the mall, I think, is what Spurgeon would have said. And
yeah, that was a Spurgeon quote, I think. Yeah,
I can't disagree with him at all. But, baby, one thing I know that you're not going to be looking for at the mall and one thing that I am looking to right now in my office and smelling for hope is my new bag from Saddleback Leather.
Oh yeah,
I'm looking at about 700 worth of leather right now on the
leather
sofa in my office.
Leather
and craftsmanship, of course. This is the dark brown leather flight bag, and I got to tell you, I can't go anywhere in this town without somebody complimenting my new leather bag from Saddleback Leather. Hipster purveyors of fine leather goods. So Piper, give us a promo read, the promo read of a lifetime on this new sponsor.
Yeah, I'm actually a little distracted right now because my office smells so delightfully of both Saddleback Leather, which is, it's the leather smell, but it's, you can tell that it's a higher quality leather, and then with a hint of Ligaris Roasters coffee in there as well. So it's just as much as Ronnie will be in heaven at the mall, I'm equally that much in heaven right now with these.
Man, this
these
is
wafting
painful.
Odors.
It's very painful.
Piper, is there a way to like photograph smells so that you can post that to your Instagram and one up even the great Ronald J.
Dude,
Martin in terms of Instagram
thing, man? That has to be something that they invent next decade.
Yeah,
right?
Listeners, if you figure out a way to share pleasant odors via the internet, please let us know, because I will give this to you. This is, all of you deserve something this wonderful as Saddleback Leather and Ligaris Roasters coffee combined. But Saddleback is our sponsor for this and the next few episodes. And here's the amazing thing for you listeners. I will tell you all about some of their cool products here in a minute, but they are actually giving away products to our listeners. So if you go to saddlebackleather.com/happyrant, saddlebackleather.com/happyrant, there's a very simple entry form, and you are entered to win one of five prizes. The winners will be selected at the end of October, so you have the month of October to enter. There is a leather wallet, kind of a slim front pocket wallet. There is a really nice leather toiletries bag, which has a buckle on it and everything, so it's not just sort of like a zip-up canvas kind of thing. It's all leather, beautifully stitched, really nice buckle. There is a leather briefcase that is valued at almost $600. There is a leather backpack, which I think is actually what Ronnie may have. I think you may have one of these, the messenger backpack, or do you have a different one?
I got it for Big M. She loves it. She's literally just like that is – that has been like one of the big pieces of her life right now, man, is that Saddleback Leather backpack. Mm.
And then they have a leather duffel bag, which is just like the most classic piece of like overnight carry-on luggage. It's so they're giving away one of each of these. So you are entered to win one of those. Again, if you go to saddlebackleather.com/happyrant. But if you're looking for something other than these, if you don't want to wait a month, they have duffels and luggage, including like a steamer trunk, like the most imagine like porters carrying on a huge trunk onto a steam train. That's this thing. They have backpacks, briefcases, wallets and belts, canvas bags. They have all sorts of accessories like pen cases. They have those leather trays so that you can casually toss your keys and change into it and feel spectacular while doing it. Everything they do has a 100-year warranty, which basically means lifetime, your lifetime, and the lifetime of the product. Hopefully not the lifetime of the company. We hope they stay open forever. They do corporate gifts, so if you are work for a company or at a church who wants to do something really nice to give away something, they do imprinting and all of that stuff. All of that is available at their site. This is all really, really nice. They call it over-engineered, meaning it's all there's no cheap stitching, no cheap buckles, no cheap, you know, rivets or whatever those little things are called that tend to break on leather bags. When I got the leather bag from them, I think it's the last one I will ever get because it's a 100-year warranty and I have never run across a nicer leather bag than this one. So, anyway, go to saddlebackleather.com/happyrant, enter to win, check out their site, buy goods for yourself, for the loved ones in your life who deserve something this nice, and make somebody happy.
Boys, it's the bag of a lifetime. And it's almost so nice.
You don't even want to use it, do you, baby?
Like, I almost don't feel comfortable with it yet. Like, I almost feel like I don't quite know it yet, and I don't quite know who I am when I'm carrying it back that night.
It's raised your level to a different self-perception.
Yeah, so I was
living things, boys. I mean, technically they're dead things, but they feel like living things.
Prior to the Saddleback Leather $700 flight bag that I'm carrying now, I was rocking a $17 Seattle Mariners black backpack. So I feel like you do the math. I've made a significant upgrade in terms of my bag life. And
that's a huge leap for you.
How sad that is, baby.
What, baby?
I said, do the math on how sad we feel about you carrying around a $17 Mariners bag. That's bad.
No, I mean, dude. I mean, I think I at some level I feel more comfortable with my Mariners backpack, but I like this one so much more.
You're better than that. Let me just.
I need to keep telling myself that. And
You need to get out of that harmful relationship and just realize that this is the relationship where you belong. The one with this really, really nice leather bag.
Don't feel bad because you have a beautiful baby now, baby. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Thank you so much. That reminds me of a Downton Abbey conversation we need to have off the air.
Absolutely.
Regarding the kinds of guys who like Lady Mary, and somebody proposed a theory to me this morning. Like, if you like Lady Mary, then you must be like self-loathing at some level. And I think that's true. But I do like Lady Mary. Like, she's mean, but in a way that I like. But we'll talk about it off the air, baby, because we have, speaking of meanness, little radio segue. We have some other stuff to discuss regarding celebrities. Real celebrities, but also junior varsity celebrities, and by that I mean Christian celebs. And one such person is this guy whose name I've been aware of for like 20 years, but I really don't know a whole lot about this kid. But his name is Cameron Strang. Am I saying that right, Piper? Strang.
Yeah, Strang. Yep.
Yeah. So Cameron Strang.
I like that you call him a kid because he's about your age.
No, I call him a kid because my perception of Cameron Strang is just that, like, his dad gave him a media company 20 years ago because his dad was like a person of note, I guess.
Oh, is he part of that Strang family? I didn't even know
that.
He's
part of that Strang family. So I think his dad like threw him a magazine 20 years ago. And like my only real like recollection of Relevant magazine is that I feel like for about a 5-year run, Bono was on the cover every issue. This is back when magazines were a thing. And it's like, hey, everybody, Bono's like, he's saving Africa, or he's fixing the government, or he's doing Bono things for like, you remember that 5-year run from like 2002 to 2007 when it was just like all Bono all the time? I feel like that was Apex Mountain for Relevant Mag. But anyway, Cameron Strang, the head of Relevant Magazine, posted an apology of sorts. I guess not of sorts, like just a real apology for how he treated people at work. Things that he said, ways of being, and he's actually stepping down for a while. And I just wanted to get your guys' take on that. What you thought of the piece itself, what you think of him doing it. Piper, you are probably closest to the media world of all three of us. So what were your thoughts on this when you saw it?
Well, while you're giving the introduction, I did a brief amount of research. He is in fact the son of Steve Strang, who is the Charisma Media guy, which is like one of the largest Christian media companies in the world. And so, yes, he's media royalty. Yeah. And so he started Relevant Magazine when? 2000.
And it had to be dang near 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's close to that, which is interesting because it's tried to stay sort of young and relevant while its initial reader base has aged. And so it's an interesting dynamic there, especially as the publisher of it ages out of the readership bracket, because I think they all are still looking for that 20-something readership. But he basically put out an open letter explaining why he was stepping down. And my initial response was basically, I really hope everything he says in this is true, in the sense of he expresses regret. He expresses wanting to learn how to be a better leader, to see things that he's been blind to treat people better. And he's pretty explicit that as a Christian person and as a Christian publication, he should be held to, and they should be held to, a better standard than leadership and management in other places. And so he wants to step into that standard. Obviously, there's disappointment that it hadn't been the case all along. But yeah, my initial response was, man, I hope this is true. And I saw some pushback from different people saying, well, he didn't give any details of what he's apologizing for, so they didn't accept it. And I was like, well, I don't think he's apologizing to you unless you worked there.
Was it Hank Hanegraaff that gave the pushback?
It was actually a Fern.
He confessed to a fern
and it didn't accept the confession.
That's tough. Ferns can be a tough room. That's why
Ronnie ripped them all out at his church, because they're just the worst.
We will never have another Fern.
But yeah, I think it's, I don't know. I find it really interesting because it, I guess my question in regards to it is, as a public Christian figure like he is, a publication that has, you know, that has a pretty decent circulation, pretty well known, he can't not make this public, but does making it public do any good?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think in a certain time and place, this is a conversation that would have happened at your staff meeting on a Monday morning, and hopefully it would have felt really genuine, but I think the public nature of it, it kind of calls into question whether an apology is an apology or an apology is a PR stroke.
Right.
Big R, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, right. Because, you know, I don't know whether Cameron is stepping down for a leave of absence or not stepping down for a leave of absence, right? Yeah. So he was cluing me into something that I would have had no idea about otherwise. Now, look, boys, I mean, I was around in the days when Relevant Magazine started, and mm-hmm. you know, to me, you know, it's never made a play much in my life. I mean, that's like starting a magazine called Cool, you know what I mean? And so the premise and the content on which they started the magazine on from the very beginning, which was like, hey, look, Christians can, you know, Christians don't have to be, you know, 5 years behind the time. Christians can have, you know, their finger on the pulse of, you know, everything that's going on with.
Christians can be only 2.5 years behind the time.
Right. Christians,
I think that was kind of the thesis.
Christians can put, you know, hey, look, we can actually put Bono on the cover because, you know, CCM magazine has never been able to do that and those kinds of things. And mm-hmm. to me, there was a lack of legitimacy with everything they were doing, because there was such an overt attempt. Again, it's like saying, hey, we want to start a really cool magazine and we're going to call it like a real cool magazine. That's the title of it. And so
maybe could we start a magazine and call it that, please?
I mean, essentially, well, I mean, that's what Relevant already did. So.
Yeah. Cool magazine. Doggone
it. To say we're starting a magazine called Relevant begs the question, well, but this is what your opinion is of what you think is relevant, which is, like you said, putting Bono on the front, you know, for the last 5 years running.
Years in a row. It was a good run for Bono.
So let me play devil's advocate here.
Expect no less.
Right, and the devil needs more advocates, clearly. At the time he started this, think early 2000s, you were there, Ron. Almost all Christian publication was aimed at conservative middle-aged people. Christianity Today, World Magazine, everything Charisma Media was doing, just different sort of theological slices. There was almost nothing effectively aimed at the Gen Xers and the rising millennials. Because at that point, I would have been heading into college. So I was kind of on the younger end of this. And then people – you probably – Yeah, so it was like my age to maybe 10 years older than me, kind of in the range that they were going for. And there was nothing aimed at us at that point. Everything that had been aimed at us was sort of like hokey youth ministry stuff, not sort of what are we actually engaging in culture in terms of music, in terms of movies, in terms of any sort of media engagement. So to call it relevant, on the one hand, it's a little bit sort of like a little on the nose, if you will. But on the other hand, it's just like, yeah, this is relevant to everybody between the ages of 18 and 28, and nothing else that Christians are publishing at that point really was.
Yeah. No, I agree, Pipe, and I think you're spot on with that. I have a question for Ron, and then I have a question for the whole room, I guess. But like, Ron, what should they have called it? Like, what would you have called it? And if you're endeavoring to do the same thing, let's say your dad, your old man Martin, had been the king of a media empire and had decided to like drop a magazine in your lap at age 21 or whatever, and you're endeavoring to do the same things as young Cam Strang, what are you calling it?
Dude, I don't know. I'm just sounding snobby now. I don't know. It's just what I'm saying is like Christian media in general has had a really hard time with when they want to do something relevant. They want to do something that actually smacks of being in the here and the now and having their finger on the pulse. I mean, they don't seem to have the ability to like have any sort of like artistic, drive in doing it. You know, so it always feels like the really, you know, it always smacks of like the kid that's not cool trying so hard to be cool. And I felt like relevant was just like the peak of that, you know, when that happened.
You're totally right.
I mean, there was nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing in the sense that you'd have to dig really deep and go to places that nobody even knew existed to find anything of that nature, which isn't helpful, right, at all.
And I mean, you look at a magazine that's, you know, survived kind of the cratering of the magazine industry, like Esquire, and they've been around for, you know, decades, publishing really great writers, doing these incredible features. You know, it's around for like quality based reasons. And I mean, it's the difference between yelling and screaming, hey, we're elite and we're quality, doesn't mean that you have a quality product.
Well, I think it's just this idea where it's like, just do what you want to do. Don't do it in response to what hasn't been done. Just do what you want to do.
Yeah, no, it's a great point.
And I felt like relevant was always like, hey, look, we're going to put Rob Bell on the cover because that would be something that would kind of make us controversial now after he dropped Love Wins. And it's like, well, okay. I mean, but it feels like it's always like a, hey, look, Mom, we can do stuff too.
And I think you're honestly, like, you're onto something there in the sense that, like, that ethos imbues almost everything that's ever happened in Christian media. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was maybe the headspace from which 97% of Christian media has been birthed, which is maybe the reason why so much of it has sucked over the years.
But yeah, you know what? Go ahead. Sorry.
It's, having said that, I'm not saying they've never done any quality work.
No. Yeah.
That's going way too far because I actually believe they have. I think it's just the premise of which they started, because I knew some of these guys that were on the ground floor with them that started the magazine. So I'm coming at it from – so Piper, you were 18. I was 28 when it started. And so, again, my vantage point was a little bit different than yours. But, again, that's not to say that they haven't done some fantastic work either. I would never say that.
Dude, so question, do 20-year-olds still read magazines?
Like, magazines have made a resurgence, so the answer
have
is –
they?
Yeah.
Mags are back.
Their total numbers are way down, but to be fair, their total numbers were always inflated anyway. But the Relevant has also, of all Christian media companies, probably made the most successful shift to getting, you know, to kind of an online presence as well. They do a really good job of driving web traffic, but yeah, their magazine subscription still fairly strong. And the funny thing is, like, they don't actually make a lot of money off, like, their magazine is a break even or slightly losing proposition from what I understand. They do it for the sake of kind of the editorial side of things. Like, they still want that basis of, like, we want to have a
hard copy.
They want to have a hard copy. They want to have an editorial schedule. They want to have some standard on that. And then, you know, their finances are driven by sponsorship and podcasts and stuff like that. Like, their podcast is one of the larger Christian podcasts out there.
Yeah, like really? Think of Relevant Mag as kind of like the return of vinyl. It's like it's a growing thing now. There's a lot of boutique kind of magazines that are coming, and they're like they're kind of, you know, stringently print only. You know, not print only, but like that's their emphasis now, is because we want to be product driven. We want everybody to have something in their hands.
For sure.
And
for sure.
So there's kind of that whole thing. Like if you go to a newsstand now, like the amount of magazines and new magazines that are in place is like off the chart right now.
Boys, now I'm fixated on something because I'm petty.
Are we gonna start Happy Rant the magazine? 100%.
No. I'm petty and I'm competitive like this. Have you guys listened to their podcast at all?
Do you know
if it's actually any good?
I never have.
I have listened to it a couple times. I think I was interviewed on it once, because they do like segments, although they've changed their format 1,000 times. So it's hard to say what it is currently. It's the same thing we do on this podcast, except there's no niche to it. Like they don't have a particular area of Christianity they go after. And I would call them, how shall I say this? Less thoughtful. It leans heavy on like the shticky comedy kind of like yuck it up kind of thing.
Yeah.
But what people like about it is that there's this sort of like jokey camaraderie between the hosts, and they talk about different and it leans a little bit more sort of pop and pop culture rather than like church culture, serious things.
I don't want to rest until we're bigger than them. I think our podcast can be bigger than their podcast.
I mean, do they have a Saddleback sponsor, boys? That's my question.
I doubt it. I mean, who's carrying around a Saddleback leather bag this morning?
Is it Cam Strang? I don't think it's Cam Strang.
No, I don't think it's Cam Strang. It's
me. He's probably not carrying anything. He's probably sitting at home self-reflecting. But that's a
well, there you go.
That's a separate issue.
Absolutely.
We self-reflect with leather.
We do. I self-reflect with
a
$700 bag on my shoulder. That's how I do it. I can't think without that thing lashed to my body.
The reflections seem to be a little more pertinent, you know.
Right, they're just infused with the smell of rich Corinthian leather.
Correct,
boys. We are excited to be podcasting with Saddleback, but we're also excited to be talking about another aspect of celebrity culture. And this is something that, like, I'd heard this term, but I'd never written a think piece about it or never read a think piece about it until Piper sent along a piece on cancel culture. And as far as I could understand, having read 2/3 of the piece, which constitutes a lot of show prep for us.
That was a lot of words.
Yeah, it's a lot of words. Cancel culture means when a celebrity does something that you, as the arbiter of all moral decisions in the universe, when you decide that they've done something wrong, they've transgressed, then you effectively cancel them, meaning you start a campaign, meaning you post like 2 things on Twitter about how they're the worst and you should not ever watch or consume their product anymore. So examples of people who have been canceled, Kevin Spacey, Woody Allen, Louis C.K., Kanye West from time to time, but I think he might be back. Michael Jackson kind of got canceled, but I think people still love listening to his music. So some of these,
there's a little different when they get canceled postpartum, postmortem. I mean, goodness, postpartum is entirely different.
Dude,
sorry,
have there
y'all.
Been any babies that have been canceled or like young mothers that have been canceled?
Goodness,
that was beautiful.
I don't know if that was a Freudian slip or what that was. Postmortem.
It was a good slip. It was a good slip.
Postpartum.
Postpartum,
I don't know.
Cancellation.
Maybe Kim Kardashian, has she had any of her babies canceled because they named them funny things?
If one of these apparently horrible people had a baby, I think that would the baby would get canceled.
If anybody was going to be canceled postpartum, it would be like Gwyneth Paltrow because she has, you know, she's gone a little bit batty. But
dude, did Gwen get canceled? Because I loved her in the 90s. She was one of my favorite 90s people. What did she do that was bad?
Oh, she's just become sort of like this. No, she hasn't. Like,
she's insufferable. Yeah, baby. She's kind of reached those.
You know how Tom Brady has like become a fitness and health and like diet like me guru.
Yeah, he's just become like weirdo Tom Cruise kind of.
Right. She's like that, except extra pompous and not winning Super Bowls. So and then she names her kids really strange things as well.
Yeah, insufferable.
Is she still married to that guy from that band?
No. That ended a long time ago. Yeah.
Judas, you guys. I'm so behind the times. I need to read Relevant magazine.
You need to read Relevant. Pick up an issue of Relevant from 10 years ago and catch up with the times, Big T.
I'm going to start a magazine.
Just like every other Christian.
Yeah, baby, pick up an issue of Relevant from 10 years ago and read about what Bono was doing today.
There you go. Yeah, I love it. Boys, what do you think of cancel culture? Is this just a reflection of kind of... I think it's a couple of things. So I think it's the sort of headspace we get in where we want to be outraged at something so that kind of the whiplash effect is that we feel better. Like, look at me because I'm better than Woody Allen or Kevin Spacey or R. Kelly or whatever. So I think that's part of it. I think another part of it is just... you know, our desire to kind of make these referendum type statements on everything, whereas I think, you know, before the market just sort of auto-corrected. So, I mean, if these allegations towards somebody like Woody Allen, for example, are true, then he's not going to get movie deals anymore and you're not going to see his movies anymore. But I think the cancel culture part of it is, you know, all of us in our online presences need to hop on board and say how much we hate Woody Allen. Am I, like, in the ballpark on that pipe?
Yeah, I think that's right. Like, as far as canceling goes to culture, it is, yeah, there's a just sort of a mass hysteria almost. Because the people, so in this article, they list, like, people have tried to cancel Taylor Swift because she has made statements that are, you know, questionable or whatever. Or Kanye West, you know, we talked about him last episode, and he was a Trump supporter and has compared himself to Jesus and various different things that people find offensive. And yet... they've never been canceled. You know, they release music, it sells a lot, they are filthy rich and starting churches, and Kanye bought a ranch, by the way, so your prediction last episode that he would do that has already come true, so good job.
Did
guys.
He buy a ranch in Wyoming, or did he just purchase all of Wyoming? That was unclear.
Including the people, actually. 11, yeah. All 11 of them. I feel like cancel culture is not really a culture. It's just a trend of how people express things, which means it really isn't anything. Because, like you said, if there's substance to an allegation against somebody, they kind of go away. Like, Kevin Spacey hasn't made a movie in 2.5 years or whatever because of allegations. So he is, like, he's toxic to movie makers.
Sure.
You know, whereas the comedians, Aziz Ansari and Louis C.K., did things that were morally questionable, but not, like, legally reprehensible or whatever. They couldn't be charged with it.
Yeah.
So they're back. Both of them have done comedy specials since then. And as much as people might be uncomfortable with that, they're back. They're not canceled.
So let me ask you guys both this. You're both movie buffs, and I am too. I love movies, and I love what was the Kaiser Soze movie that Spacey did?
Usual Suspects,
right? Kind of a classic movie. He did Glengarry Glen Ross. Like, he's been in some bangers over the years. Like, does this, like, news about Kevin Spacey, does it ruin your enjoyment of those movies? Are you not watching them anymore because of it?
No. I mean, first of all, he was always creepy. He's never not been creepy. When have you, like, you've never watched Kevin Spacey and been like, man, what a likable guy. I wish I could go to dinner with him.
Yeah,
you're always
exactly.
Like, no, I don't think I'd let him near any person that I loved and was responsible for. But
sure. He
sure can act.
Yep.
All that to say, no, it doesn't bother me. Like, Bill Cosby is a different story.
Yeah.
Because Bill Cosby played... like quintessential
the ultimate American dad.
Yeah, like the father figure of America, and then comes out that he's both criminally and morally terrible. And
sure.
So, yeah, he, like, that's canceled. You're canceled when you go to jail, when you receive multiple life sentences or whatever it he's gotten. Not when people are mildly offended or, you know, your offense has a 6-month lifespan or whatever.
Yeah. Big R, what do you think of this?
Oh, man. I'm with Pipe. I mean, I think, it really just depends, right? I think if somebody has done, if somebody has committed a crime, there's a sense where, I mean, but this has always been the case, right? I mean, if you can go back before, like, we turned it into a culture, it became a culture, and people that ended up doing things that would, you know, lose their sponsorships, lose the privileges they have with the people that were paying them a lot of money. I mean, it's not like this is some new thing in and of itself. I think what you're saying, though, is that given the world that we live in and given, you know, given the fact that people can start campaigns on social media against, you know, people for the work that they previously did and to say that we should have nothing more to do with it. Yeah, that's kind of a unique twist in it for sure, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, a part of the big thing, and this is what comedians are really getting uptight about. So comedians are really, they're sort of on the back end of this thing going, no, because here's the thing, we got to be able to say whatever we want to say, because again, we're trying to be funny. This is entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so to hold us to this kind of standard that said, if you go back 10 years and look at something we posted on social or something we said in an interview, and you're trying to use that against us to cancel us and to basically end our careers, they're saying like, this has gone so far that now we don't even know how to make heads or tails about what's going on, because gee whiz, hasn't everybody said something that they wish they could take back? And now we're in an era where we can't take back anything because everything's been documented because of the world we live in. And so I think that there's like, how do we know where to draw those lines? Like, what is, you know, what puts you in the place of a Bill Cosby or a Kevin Spacey? And then what puts you in a place where it's like, hey, I said some things that can be interpreted 20 different ways 20 years ago that have come back to grab me. Does mm-hmm. that mean that my entire career and everything I've done and everything I've said should be thrown out the window? And I think everybody's feeling like, where does this end? How extreme does this, you know, how extreme does this culture continue to grow into itself to where nobody's going to be able to do anything or say anything because everything offends somebody at some point, right? And so, again, how, you know, where does the line get drawn? I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I've actually been listening to a lot of interviews from comedians that are super angry about all of the stuff that's going on right now. About it's fascinating, actually.
Tough time to try to be funny. You know, they were they were born in the wrong era. I mean, if you're going to try to be funny in 2019, like God bless you. Good luck to you.
What's funny is guys like you guys have heard of guys like Bill Burr, who is super like just speaks his mind. I mean, so he's taken the opposite approach. Like he's doubling down and going even like heavier into the kind of like really, you know, confrontative, you know, comedy that he does to offend every. So he's trying to be even like more offensive than he used to be as a way to double down and say, you can't silence me. You cannot.
Dude, it makes me wonder about a show like 30 Rock, which in my opinion was one of the funniest TV shows in the last 20 years and one of my favorites of all time. I love 30 Rock, but it makes me wonder if like, because they kind of did the same thing, right? So like on 30 Rock, you know, liberals weren't safe, conservatives weren't safe. They were making fun of everybody, and I think it's one of the magical things about the show. But it does make me wonder, like, would that have flown in 2019? Like, would all the jokes that made that show so funny?
That's a good question. Like,
I think it would have, because I think so one of the side benefits of this that's going to happen in comedy is that comedy will have to get smarter. And satire will take a step up, because 30 Rock was a fairly satirical show, you know, sort of like caricatures of different, you know, different viewpoints and different things like that. But it was an equal opportunity mockery, smartly written, leaning into satire. And so, I think it would still work. And I think that's where comedy has to go going forward, because, I mean, you can go, the pendulum will either swing smart or you'll get the Bill Burr double down on being aggressive. And there's always been both of those. You know, there's like the Jerry Seinfelds who will make jokes about minutia. Like they always are leaning into the nothingness of life to make their jokes. And then you have, you know, aggressive guys like Louis C.K. falls more on the aggressive side, where he's not. Like he's going to take a joke and just beat it to death in profanely and whatever else, which can be very funny, but it's a whole different style. But I think 30 Rock would still work. I think like The Good Place, which I haven't watched, but people I know who love it say it's, you know, it's both funny and smart. It has a worldview. It's not trying to avoid landmines. It's just having a take on them that's like, hey, this is both thoughtful and clever. And so I think that's probably a good thing for comedy, because the only way through is to be smarter than the crowds.
Yeah,
Which is great. No, I love smart comedy as opposed to, like, I think Bill Burr says funny things sometimes, but like an angry Bostonian just feels like a cliche to me. It's like, if I wanted that, like, I would just buy season tickets to the Red Sox and go sit at Fenway and listen to people scream curse words. That's basically what he is like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It feels like we've just done this before, but, boys, we have time for one more quick news item, and then another promo, and then we have to get out. I have to be a school teacher. Ronald has to get back to his life-giving, meetings in suburban Minneapolis, and, Piper, you got to go do Man of the Claw stuff. But speaking of Man of the Claw stuff, Kanye West might be a Christian, and there might be actual reformed people, like real reformed people. And one of the functions that we provide in the reformed community is deciding when somebody is actually converted. There may be reformed people verifying that Kanye West is a believer.
Man, Holy Spirit must appreciate us so much.
Oh, dude,
really
so
needs
much
our
help. So much
help
from the Reformed community that the Holy Spirit's getting. I mean, it's just really terrific. Piper, what do you make of this?
I find it a little bit hard to have an intelligent conversation about this after talking about Kanye's pastoring and savioring last week.
Yeah.
So if the Reformed arbiters have all of a sudden decided that he is, in fact, a real Christian, what did we miss?
Yeah.
I feel like we do a fairly good job of staying up on these things, and now I'm finding out that everything we said last week might be a lie. Everything we've read is a lie. It's all a lie.
Oh,
and he's a genuine follower of Christ, apparently. I'm stumped.
That's really hard. Does this mean that we're not qualified to be reformed arbiters of people's salvation?
Or
maybe?
Do we owe a public apology? Have we created a toxic environment of misrepresenting Kanye's church? Like, where are we? Where are we in this? I'm so confused.
We're not very relevant right now, boys.
I think maybe we need a public apology and maybe
do we need to take a sabbatical and step a leave of absence for a time of healing and self-reflection.
I'm all about that, Pipe. You don't even have to ask that. I'm all about it. Let's do it.
Yeah. You know Ron's ready for a sabbatical. It's been a couple months.
I was going to say, it's been 6 months since his last one. He's way overdue.
Ready, set, go.
We
got
to get our boy out of work and into Naples. Okay, and whatever's going to make that happen the quickest, that's what we're going to do. So leave of absences all around, boys. Piper, I need to take a leave of absence from this program because I have work to do, but tell us about our last sponsor.
Yes, we have a second sponsor for this episode, which is Dwell Bible App. Longtime listeners will be familiar with this. They've sponsored us before and will be sticking with us for quite a while going forward. They're sort of a long-term partner now, which is awesome because we love Dwell. It's an audio Bible app. So they have multiple narrators. They have reading plans that are both topical as well as like listen through the Bible in a year. I said reading plans. It's really a listening plan. My bad, y'all. They are working to get some new narrators in as well, just so they have different accents, different styles. So some are a little bit more sort of dramatic. Some lean more a little bit more center cut, straightforward. And so the other thing I just found out is that you know who loves Dwell? Matt Chandler. Ooh. Matt Chandler loves
Matty
Dwell.
Chin.
Yes. So we will at some point be sharing a video of Matt Chandler promoting this because he loves it. So
the golden boy of Christian culture.
Yeah.
Matty Chan can do no wrong.
Yeah, I mean, until his church gets sued, but that's a story for another time. So anyway, listeners, check out Dwell Bible App. And for our listeners, if you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, they have a 33% discount off of a subscription. So it's not a free app. So that it'll cost you $20 a year. Or you can pay $100 and get lifetime access. And the thing is, this isn't a static app. They're constantly updating features, getting new narrators, turning out new plans. And so it keeps it fresh for you. I use this pretty regularly in the car, walking the dog, or when I'm preparing to teach or something like that. I find it really useful. So check it out. Go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. Sign up today. You will love it.
Excellent. Yeah, we love Dwell, man. KK and I listen to it often. Piper, do you know when our special content is going to be live on Dwell?
I don't. I know that you were way on the ball and actually recorded yours.
Yeah.
Ronnie and I have not been way on the ball. So since they're going to be with us for a while, that gives me both the impetus I need to go record it and gives us an opportunity to work out when that will drop. So that, yeah, that'll be us as podcast hosts reading portions of scripture and maybe some other readings. I know you did, was it Jane Austen?
Yeah, Jane Austen, yeah, absolutely.
So I haven't decided what I will do yet, but I will get that done, and then that'll be part of this offer as well at some point in the future. So hang in there, listeners. It's coming.
Outstanding. That is good stuff, Pipe. Good content. Piper, we've done what we always do on this program, in that we have wandered to and fro throughout these topics and throughout these sponsors. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Need more of God's power in your life? I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical tips on how to grow your faith through prayer. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.